Welcome, friends and family and loved ones.
Welcome to Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons.
And non-Mormons.
Never been a Mormon.
Still a bad person.
Or a good person who makes questionable life choices.
I suppose that's more accurate.
Welcome to the podcast, Erica.
Hi, thanks for having me back, Drunky McDrunkertons.
I'm so glad to get you back with some better audio this time.
I'm very happy to be here and partially sober. No, I'm that's also, not true.
I'm also partially sober, but I did, as I was leaving work today, everybody knows I work at a national grocery chain that we will not mention, and we sell spirits and wine, and I was talked into buying a $100 bottle of tequila on my way out the door today.
But was it worth it?
It was worth it. It's a sipping tequila. It's very smooth and kind of caramely.
Besides, we all know Mandy's bougie as shit, so like she likes that stuff.
I also like expensive alcoholic beverages as well, actually. And sipping tequila sounds absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I kind of came to this point where I realized, I was like, I set up this bar in our living room because I have like 47 bottles of whiskey and they're stashed all about the house. And I was like, I want to showcase my fine whiskeys. And then I realized we don't have any tequila. So on my way out the door at work, I was like, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so, my friend, I need some tequila for my home bar. And everybody was like, wow, you have a home bar? Like, I can't even get, you know, I get three bottles in, and then the next thing I know, all the bottles are gone. And I was like, that was me. I remember when I was you.
It's true. Also, it helps that I may be known around town as the town drunk. So when people get rid of their booze, they're like, Charlotte, we don't really drink anymore. Would you like our booze? I'm like, absolutely, thank you.
She's not lying. There's a whole cardboard box in the garage right now full of some cheap-ass off-brand liquor.
Listen,
I will be throwing
Bacardi
in the garbage.
Is not off-brand.
Really?
Cuervo, Jose Cuervo is not off-brand. We have tequila, Mandy. Besides, I'm going to make some, like, jungle juice with that shit. Because
don't
I'm not
you use,
old.
Like, rubbing alcohol for jungle juice? Or... Oh,
I think
no,
that's
Everclear,
yeah. Everclear.
What is the difference between Everclear and alcohol?
Rubbing
so
alcohol?
Strong. Oh.
I don't know that there is much of a difference.
You can ingest Everclear, you bastards.
Everclear comes in a glass bottle.
Do you remember we used to go across the border 20 minutes north to Idaho to buy Everclear when we were in high school?
We did. And the Mickey's Big Mouths, because we had really horrible taste in beer and we wanted it kind of secretly to be punished by our beer drinking choice. So we picked Mickey's Big Mouths. And then there was some sort of like purple wine cooler thing that you could get there too. That
it
was
a 2 liter, right? It was a 2 liter bottle.
Oh my God, that's
it was called
wild.
I think it was called Jungle Juice. Or
I think you are right.
We'll Google it and I'll find out and I'll put it on the Instagram. But I think it was called Jungle Juice. It was Everclear that came in a 2 liter bottle and with like purple drink or pink drink, and you would buy it at La Tienda.
With some sort of Kool-Aid. And I'd gamble.
And oh, yeah.
Spend $20 to win $5. That's that was La Tienda.
Miss Thing over here, Miss Sister Anderson, won. How much did you win at the lottery?
Not me. Oh, I think
it was Tiffany.
No, that I was going to say, but didn't Gigi win a shit ton of like scratchers, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I brought my friend from Hawaii. We went on a road trip, and we brought her out to, because my mom lives out there now in Clifton, so you have to drive right past La Tienda to get out there, because it's like past Preston in the, I don't know, the farmlands out there or whatever. And so we stop at La Tienda every time so we can get like scratchers and wine or whatever we need to get to go spend.
Get all the tequila, or no, the vodka, because if we want to have Bloody Marys on Sunday, we have to stock up.
And if, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's where you can buy alcohol on Sunday, too, because you can't buy it in Utah.
And if we're going to my mom's house, we're going to be spending at least 3 days there, so we're going to need a lot of alcohol.
I'm not fighting shit for your jungle juice.
It's okay. It existed. It was... I mean, it was the early 90s. Like, the early 90s.
It was in the days of Zima.
Yes. Pre-Zima, even.
It was pre-Zima. And it was in a plastic 2-liter bottle. We take a run for the border. Though, I don't think I went to La Tienda as an underage person. I think, well, no, I probably did go as an underage person.
Oh, hell yeah, you did. I went with you. We went together.
I had to think about it. I was like, why would I do that? But why would I have bought Mickey's Big Mouths if I could literally buy any other type of beer? Why would I have made that choice? Because those were awful.
But why did any of us buy Mickey's? Because you got a lot of it and it was cheap.
Yeah.
And you also get a riddle.
And what was that rapper's name, that white rapper that drank it?
Eminem?
No. He was the one of the first. Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
No. Was it him? Somebody drank about, or somebody rapped about Mickey's, drinking Mickey's.
Because it's
Shamrock.
It's not like.
I can picture it. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, really trying to glamour for. He's like, oh, this is what everybody drinks because it's cheap and shitty.
No, I'm not arguing that. But I'm just trying to remember who the rapper. And I know, like, Courtney loved him. She had a shirt, and he rapped about. He was like dissing DJ Quick in one of his songs. Boom shalak lak boom. That's the guy.
The UB40 guy.
No. Boom shalak lak boom. Everybody. I'm gonna have to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But please keep singing. Because...
Well, I'll cut that out.
No,
I don't want to subject anyone to my vocal stylings of X brand white rapper guy from the 90s.
That is a pity.
Would you guys like to start by telling us what you're drinking?
I am drinking a glass of Cabernet. Yes, Cabernet Sauvignon, Undaunted, Washington State. It's a 2018. Horsehaven Hills. Mandy's also drinking the same.
I am. I got it from work on my way out the door. Well, running home to record this podcast.
Thanks, work.
She paid for it, though. Of course I paid for it. I need that job.
No, I know, but you said I ran out the door with it.
Oh.
It
I paid for it, then I ran out the door.
Right.
Got in my car. Drove 82 miles precisely an hour on the freeway to get here.
Of course I did. I need that job.
I'm not just going to be running out of there with wine unpaid for.
That tells you a lot about what's going on with the economy these days.
I bought the $100 bottle of tequila, but I shoved the $10 bottle of wine down my pants.
Well, because you were wearing harem pants.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Pocket for it.
Yeah. A lot of pocket room, a lot of crotch room in those pants.
For wine.
What are you drinking, Erica?
I was drinking some kind of Zinfandel, and I'm going to go get some more. And it's, again, one of, like, the house box wines, because that's how we're buying pandemic wine, because it makes us feel bad when we fill up our glass recycling so fast.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with a box wine. We've talked about this before. Yeah,
especially the black box is my favorite.
That's what I'm drinking. Yeah. Black box Zin.
The white rapper, in case you guys wanted to know, is I still don't know his name, but he was in House of Pain. That was the band the rap band I was thinking of.
Oh.
Remember House of Pain?
I do.
Jump around.
Jump up and get down.
And down.
Something about drinking Mickey's in a parking lot.
I know it because it was in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Google search. What does boom shalak lock mean? Not today, Google.
Not today, Google.
So what are we watching?
I actually have been listening to a lot of podcasts this past week. I've been listening to Brené Brown's podcast a lot, and she has an episode, I think it's her latest episode, where she interviews Joe Biden.
Oh.
Joe Biden.
Ah. Joe Biden.
And it's really, really great. Like, her stuff, she basically kind of goes over the same, her specialty is basically, like, you know, she's like corporate, she goes to corporate infrastructures, and she goes to, like, professional sports teams, and she goes to, you know, basically places where, like, leadership, the quality of the leadership really is reflected in the whole business or the whole team or whatever. And she's great. Like, that's how I heard of her. It was at my job. as well. But so she interviews him and she basically just like tries to get him to explain like what his views on power and like basically like there's four different types of power, and it's either like power over, which is like that fear-based, you know, very finite period of time type of power. Or then there's all the good types of power, which is like power with or power within or power like empowering other people.
Right.
And so she's just like, I'm going to ask him these questions and, you know, see what he says or whatever. And it was just very like, very kind of heartwarming and very like, I don't know how to, I felt not discouraged and shitty for the first time in a while.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Nice. So I highly recommend giving that one a listen. That was a really good one. He, and the guy, like, I've just been kind of like meh about Biden. Obviously it's Biden or nothing. You right. know what I mean? Like, we're not voting for anybody else. Don't vote third party, people. It's going to fuck everything up if you were thinking about it.
She just said, I voted for anybody but Trump, and I just put in the comments, I said, unfortunately, any vote that's not for Biden is a vote for Trump. And then I just had somebody just be like, that it's because of thinking like that that no, Kitball is like, oh, no, true. It's thinking like that why we got George W. Bush with Nader, which is seriously. What I responded with. And they just came back with, if everybody thinks that way, we'll never have more than a two-party system. And I agree with that, but this is not the time nor the fucking place.
Right.
Well, voting is not a Valentine. It's like public transport. So right. if that bus isn't going exactly where you want it to go, you're still going to take the bus that gets you to the closest stop to where you need to get off. So right. if we want to have three parties, because I do, I was a Bernie fan because mm-hmm. I'm a dirty hippie in my liberal bleeding crying soul and want, and yeah, so I liked Bernie Sanders a lot, but the Biden bus will get me closer to Bernie Sanders than the Trump bus, which will get me closer to The Handmaid's Tale.
Right? Right. And to be fair, Biden is going to be a one-term president. He's too old, right?
I mean, yeah, he's very he's good chance. Said that. He is a transition president, yeah. what he has called himself.
Oh, good. Good. See, the fact he even says that. You Biden.
You mentioned that before, Erica. I think when we spoke before, we ended up cutting that out because of the audio issues. But what was what were you saying that he'd said about being a transitional president?
He knows that he's not going to be a two-term president because he is like really, really old. But what he had said was that he was transitional. He was there to get us out of our democracy is in a really bad situation. And people who are Republicans and Democrats who are paying attention to it have seen what a bad situation our country is in and he's there to help transition us out of walking off the cliff, basically.
Right.
And
there was something about like the millennial vote too, that he was part of that scene.
Oh yeah.
If I remember,
it was the kid who was asking. Oh yeah. The kid who was asking for the question was, why should we support you? Why should millennials support somebody who is so old, basically? And he's like, I'm clearing the way for you. I'm a transitional person. I expect the power to be in your hands next. And so and millennials are going to be the biggest, because Generation X, we're tiny.
Yeah.
We're a small generation. And then millennials are really, really quite big.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in power soon. And then everything's going to change because they grew up with like gay people on TV and they grew up with hip hop music and they grew up with like a whole lot of things that we didn't. And the boomers definitely didn't grow up with. So, yeah. Right.
I always get sidetracked onto politics like right at the beginning, which is not even what this podcast is about, but it's so hard to think about anything else right now.
So after the election, everything
it's hopefully so will overwhelming. Be like everything living in this country is so overwhelming right now.
Well, right now it's 11 days toward the election.
That's true.
Right now it is. And then also, I don't know with you guys, we just had almost 2,000 people test positive today for coronavirus. So we've like doubled in Utah, and we haven't had any mask mandates, and we have bars open, and we have dining in restaurants, and people are suing the school board to open the Salt Lake City schools because they need to get their kids out of the house because they don't like them.
Right. And they want them dead and their teachers dead as well.
Right. Right. No, I don't know. It's just, it's a mess out here. So it's hard to not focus on it.
I was thinking about, like, after I was listening to that Brené Brown episode of that podcast, I started thinking about, because it's one way or the other, Trump has a chance of winning the election, unfortunately, like a very real chance. And right. So it's like, you know, just trying to imagine what that's going to look like for 4 years after that. And I started thinking about it, and it's really like, everybody's angry. Like normal people like us are angry, and we're upset, and we're, you know, fucking pissed off. Especially after like George Floyd happened, and then all this like race shit started coming out, and just realizing how fucking racist this whole country actually is.
Right.
When I kind of thought that died with like my grandparents' generation, right. But obviously it didn't.
It did not.
But like the fact that people are angry is good, but anger, I feel like, is a catalyst. It's got to be a catalyst for something else, because it's not like a sustainable emotion. It's got right. a time and a place, but it's like, I can't continue to be angry.
But also, when right. you put anger and negativity out, you get anger and negativity back. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And so that's, it's like, true. I want to not have to hate everything.
I'm angry because I'd rather not be scared.
Right.
And that's why I've been angry in many other times in my life. I had to go to anger management therapy, Mandy, because I was a little bit of a bitchy person. I would pick fights with people because it felt better than being scared or feeling like worthless or not worth things. So you felt in a position of power if you were angry. And that's why I'm angry, because I'd rather do that than be scared, because I've had so much shit happen this year to be scared about, with like earthquakes and COVID and tree falling on our fucking mm-hmm. house. Like, I'm mm-hmm. a wicked witch of the East. So.
Salt Lake City is a hell mouth. You know it. I know it. Dogs know it.
It's where all the heathens of Utah go to conglomerate in their little blue dot outside yeah. Inside the rest of the red state.
Yep, that's exactly right. This is where all the homosexuals and people of color and liberals and
snowflakes.
I was gonna say the other word.
Yeah. I was the picking up what you're putting down.
Oh yeah, because that makes me mad when people say that.
Yeah, but then they win when you get mad, so don't let them win.
That's true. I think my favorite thing now to do, I've been watching I May Destroy You.
Ooh, what's that?
It's on HBO, and the comedian, oh gosh, I can't remember her name because I'm drunk. She is so great. She is so great. The show is so great. Get your Google machine out and look out I May Destroy You.
So is that what you're watching right now to bring back to our...
bring it back full circle to our introduction. Yeah.
and it's a good show. But one of the things that actress does, it's based on her actual sexual assault at a bar and how she dealt with that for the next few years. But it's funny.
Michaela Cole?
Yeah, Michaela Cole. Thank you. And she's brilliant. She's fucking brilliant. And yeah. She's really, really funny. And she's British. The show is British.
Okay.
But it, so part of it is her dealing with all these emotions and how she feels. So what she started to do is make people explain themselves. So when somebody says something racist, or if somebody says something sexist, or makes like a sexist joke or a racist joke or an ableist joke, then you say to them, what did that mean? I'm sorry. What do you mean by that? I didn't understand that.
I love that.
So what are you thinking when you say that? So what am I supposed to take away from you saying that? And that their whole idea, all their power unravels in trying to explain themselves. Cause if you've ever asked like somebody who's sexually harassed you, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What?
And then they'll be like, oh, it's a joke, lighten up, and you'll be like, but I really didn't understand, you know, explain yeah. it to me, you know, and keep pushing yeah. them. I've heard of that before.
But you have to say it like smiley and lighthearted, because if you come off as, no, what did you mean by that, then they'll get defensive. But if you keep it light but you still keep pushing, they have yeah. no choice but to either explain yeah. it or realize they fucked up.
Yeah, that's a good point,
especially if it's in public,
right?
Yeah. in front of other people. But Michaela Cole, I like her very much. I like reading her writing. She's a writer and she's very funny. She wrote the show. She's starring in the show. She was in Chewing Gum, which was another really good show on the BBC, because I'm an Anglophile.
That's a big word. I gotta Google that word.
Anglophile?
Yes, what does that mean?
Okay, so it's like bibliophile is like in love with books. Anglophile. I'm in love with British people.
I get it.
The Anglos.
Anglo-Saxon. Sexy.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. What I'm watching is not quite as deep as you guys' shit. I watched The Third Day with Jude Law on HBO. It was awful.
I went to bed 5 minutes
in. I haven't finished it. I'm on episode 4, and I'm just like, this was a mistake. And then Mandy and I started watching The Haunted House of Bly or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Netflix one. Because everyone was like, oh, my God, I started it. What was I thinking? It's so scary. I'm like, this is scary to you. You guys are fucking vaginas. What do you mean by that, Charlotte? I mean.
Fucking vaginas.
I mean fucking vaginas.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Are you fucking vaginas? Or the vaginas fucking?
Is there more than one vagina?
Generally fucking vaginas would be a good time, and this show is not. So I'm going to rephrase. It's not scary. And if you're scared by it, you're a baby girl.
Oh.
Instead of a big, strong man. The patriarchy, Charlotte.
No, I can't help it. I actually got yelled at a bar for this one time. I met this dude, like, we were drinking, and we were talking about, like, Indiana Jones and George Lucas, and we were talking about all his early stuff, like Steven Spielberg's Duel and, like, the TX 1040, whatever. Anyways, we're having a very lovely conversation, and I said, yeah, they need to stop being little bitches. And he very much was like, I don't like that. You shouldn't put women down. I was like, I have a vagina. I can say that. And he's like, no, you can't actually. And I'm like, but I can't. Okay. And I full on thought he was being a little bitch because of it. And and it didn't stop. Now, I need to get a better vocabulary, because I smell it. You know, I understand what he was saying. And I don't know how to better articulate that. When somebody is being a vagina, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're just scared.
A California vagina sailor?
California vagina sailor. So they're just being scared. And again, that associates with women.
I like saying taint, because everybody has a taint.
That's a good one.
So taint is good for both. But I do say stinky ball sack a lot. So that's probably sexist too.
Yeah.
Not a lot. I don't say it a lot, but I do say it.
I started reading this book also. I'm going to actually have this be the thing I talk about on next week's episode. I started reading this book called The Body's Not an Apology by Sonia Renee Taylor is the author. And I've never had to look up so many words. Like, I'm a pretty good reader. Like, I read often. I have a fairly large vocabulary.
She's literate.
I'm literate. You know, I got a few 50-cent words in my pocket. But I'm in the second chapter, and I've had to hit the Google search button at least 14 times. So that's one way you can learn new words.
That's true. That's actually pretty cool. And that's how you build vocabulary, is from reading things.
True. Mm-hmm. Also, acknowledging that you have a problem is the first step.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That you have a problem Googling things?
No, I have a problem degrading women when I'm trying to call somebody a pussy.
Pussy or a vagina.
Yeah, all of it. Again,
You're saying it, do you mean like weak, or do you mean wet and able to
weak.
Make these come out of it? Or do you
mean... Because pussies are actually very strong. So if anything, it would be a ball sack, because that is very weak.
It is. It is a flaw. And it's why, you know, there's not intelligent design. Because testicles are ugly. And they're like in a really weird spot. They're just like that whole thing, all those exterior sex organs is just asking for somebody to go whack.
And they don't age well.
What? Yeah.
They do not age well. To be fair, they weren't good anytime, but the older you get, the worse it is.
Have you ever seen like a grandpa at the beach with like his ball sack full on hanging down to his ankle?
Yes. But I was in Hawaii.
I have not seen that. I've not seen that.
Come on out to Hawaii. We got a lot of old uncles out there with their balls hanging in the sand, dragging.
Actually, we did see that in a grocery store, actually. when we went to swim with the stingrays.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Kona.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's that right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so ball sacks, Hawaii, synonymous.
Yep.
Old people, Hawaii, not synonymous.
Well, and that's great, though. Man, I would like to do that when I'm old, is just go hang out with my tits hanging like empty banana sacks down to my belly button.
Like a peeled banana that sat in the sun for 4 hours on a beach in Hawaii.
Yep.
Getting old's cool.
Right?
Should we tell some stories?
Do you have anything to repent?
Probably.
I repent that I call everybody a vagina sailor pussy.
I'm gonna repent for voting for Ralph Nader in 1996. That was a mistake. I was part of the problem. I should have gone ahead and voted.
Oh, you know, I think what would be a good time now is not necessarily a repentance, but one of our listeners explained why, from our last week's episode, why the fish don't die when the lightning strikes.
That's what it is.
Right? That'd be a good one. Manny, you tell it because it made sense to you.
All right. So if you happened to catch our last week's episode, we talked about some questionable choices that we made during lightning, electrical storms. And in my brain, I was like, it's fine to be in a body of water because when the lightning strikes, if it was going to electrocute you, all the fish would die. Eric, I can see the look on your face. And that's just what my mind was thinking. I somehow knew that wasn't right. And it's not right. So we had one of our listeners and patrons, Siobhan, she texted me and she's like, hey, by the way, I Googled this for you. You could have done this yourself. But no, she didn't really say that. But she did say, yeah, she said, so basically a charge builds up on the surface of the water, much like it does on the surface of the ground, and it stays, the electricity gets dispersed on the surface of the water. The fish are swimming below the water. So, like, if there was a fish in mid-jump, it would then be would fried.
Okay.
But, so, I guess the moral of the story is if you happen to be in an incredibly crazy electrical storm in the middle of a body of water, dive and hold your breath for as long as you can.
Hold your breath
as long
as you can.
Or get out of the water if you can.
Adversely, yeah, get out of the water.
Don't stand in the water with a cell phone.
Yeah, that was also a mistake. Lake Tahoe, mistakes were made.
I'm so out of wine.
Go get the wine. Well, how about this? You go get the wine. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. And then we'll come back and tell some spooky Halloween stories.
That sounds exciting. I'm going to go get some wine.
Looking for something refreshing to help you unwind after a long day at your super important job? Well, look no further. Introducing Maga Margarita. Maga Margarita is the greatest pre-made margarita you'll ever have and the only margarita you'll want to drink until you die. What makes Maga Margarita the best? Well, just like the Made in China tag in your Maga hat reminds you, you can't trust America to make a great product. That's why all of our ingredients are sourced from other countries, ensuring that no American jobs are created. The best rapists and tequila come from Mexico, and so does ours. Our limes and delicious sugar sweeteners are farmed and purchased from China. We also include bags of salt to rim your glass, salt that comes straight from, you guessed it, China. And just like number 45, Maga Margaritas are smart, super smart. Maga Margs can only be chilled with ice cubes made from bottled water from other countries. If you try to use America water, the Maga flavor will automatically change to taste like urine. Plus, all those extra empty plastic bottles will look great littering the streets, helping to keep America the garbage capital of the world. Plus, our listeners can save an extra 10% online with the discount code COFEFE. That's COVFEFE. So enjoy MAGA Margaritas, because everyone knows the only way to make America great again is to get drunk and fucking forget about it.
And we're back. Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hi, we're back.
Do you guys want to hear a spooky story that I remember from Logan Canyon?
Yeah.
I do.
You were, I think you were there for this, Erica. I'm positive you were there. Okay. So growing up in Logan in the late 80s, early 90s, there was very much like the whole nation was in the grip of that whole satanic panic thing. You remember that?
Satanic panic.
Everybody was Satan worshipers if you weren't religious or whatever. All the kids were out there sacrificing to the devil or whatever.
People were recovering memories. That's what I remember is a lot of people like, oh, I remember I had this baby and I ate it for Satan.
Exactly. And like, yeah, especially in Logan, I feel like, I mean, I know it was a nationwide thing because it was on like all the talk shows and shit, but in Logan, it was like a really big thing. And
what?
As teenagers, I feel like we kind of embraced that a little bit. Not, I mean, obviously we weren't worshiping the devil, but we were
eating babies.
We weren't eating babies. We weren't sacrificing animals, but we were having a little fun with the idea that people were scared of that and could be scared of us for wearing black and pentagrams and shit like that.
It makes sense. It checks out.
In retrospect. However, we did, so we hung out in the canyon, in Logan Canyon, a lot. We took acid and a lot. We also didn't take acid a lot, and we just basically like spent a lot of time in this canyon. And the place that I'm thinking of, I think we were going to the nunnery.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely right, actually.
Sounds right. So, yeah. And I can't remember, I think we've already talked about the nunnery on the podcast.
We have, yeah.
Okay, so it's basically like an old camp from the 60s where it used to be like a swimming pool and cabins, and it's been run down and abandoned.
Think of Dirty Dancing. Only in Utah.
but haunted.
And haunted. Only it's run down as shit.
Yeah. Super run down. And so we were always like, and we were all positive that it was haunted. Like, and to be fair, you got a creepy feeling in there, right?
Right. And there was a chapel up there, and empty chapels are always kind of frightening.
Yeah.
Or just creepy feeling. But there was that whole rumor that there was a nun who had gotten pregnant and had killed herself because of her pregnancy. And I remember one Halloween, you went as the nun who was pregnant and had hung herself.
That's how every good horror movie starts.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something about the swimming pool too? Like somebody drowned, or she drowned the baby in the swimming pool?
I think she'd like drown herself in the swimming pool, or had the baby and drowned the baby in the swimming pool. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Like you had a rope around your neck because how you showed your well.
And I feel like if we would have had cell phones back then with cameras, we could have really done some great documentary footage, but it's all just lost to our own memories and whoever else was with us.
Yes. I think Halloween for me was like, what is the sluttiest costume I can get away with wearing, but still pretend that it's not me who's this sexually free? No, sir.
It's
a costume.
It's that kitty cat. Meow.
I think like 2 years in a row, I was a psycho slut from hell. That was the actual title of my costume.
I like it.
I'm a psycho slut from hell. I don't know what that means at that age.
It means you're gory and your tits look fabulous.
That's good.
Okay. So, but anyways, back to the nunnery. So we would go there a lot, and there was definitely like, we would go there to be scared, whether we were on drugs or not. We would go there to like freak ourselves out because we were sure it was haunted. And I'm sure like we weren't the only kids who did that. I think it was like a pretty much a general like hangout for like any juvenile delinquents of the town. But I do remember this one time, and you have to tell me if you remember this, because this is a memory that stands out in my brain as like one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me. So what I remember is honestly can't remember if we were on drugs or not. I think we had taken acid, and we were going across, I think we were walking from the cabin, because the cabin was about like a quarter of a mile walk or so up to the nunnery. And so
is
I feel
it
like
winter time?
No. Yeah, it's winter time because the, so you had to, basically we walked, we're walking along this trail, gravelly road thing, and then there's a big open clearing. And on the other side of the open clearing is like the amphitheater, which is like an outdoor, yeah, you know, like stone amphitheater, whatever. But I remember it was, so like, we're kind of, we're walking, there was maybe four or six of us, but I remember it was winter because it, there was snow all over the ground and it was a really bright moon. So it was really bright out, you know, you've got this full moon, the reflection off the snow, super bright. And we're all walking, heading towards the nunnery. And then all of a sudden, like nobody said anything and we all just stopped. And I don't know how much time had passed, but a little bit of time passed. And then wordlessly, like we all turned around and went back. And like, I'm getting goosebumps just telling the story. Like, and no, but it was kind of like, nobody said anything. We all just left. And then once we got to like where we felt like it was safety or whatever, we were all like, did you feel that? That was weird or whatever. Like, that was so strange. And from my own memory, I felt like all of a sudden, like it was dark. I couldn't see anything. And I felt like I was upside down or sideways. Like I couldn't tell which way was up, which way was down. Like I was underwater. Yeah. And so like that, I think that was why I had stopped. And then realizing everybody else had stopped, then we just turned around and were kind of like, did you feel that? What the fuck was that? Do you remember?
I do. I remember, I thought I was having a panic attack actually, because I remember not being able to breathe very well.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I was freaking out and it was a good idea to turn around, because I was freaking out. I remember that totally.
Yeah.
And is that when the road was closed, because the road to the canyon was closed and we walked back in the middle of the road, in yes, the middle of the highway?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was so weird. We must have been on acid.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
but that's one of those things too, where if you haven't taken acid, like when you take it in a group, you experience like a group think and a group feel sort of, which is kind of a cool thing. Yeah. At least it is for me, like when the few times I've experienced, it's happened to me a couple times, but this was one where it's just like, nobody said a word. We all just stopped. We all felt whatever we felt, which sounds like it was probably a lot of the same thing. And we all turned around and fucking left.
Freaky. I've done acid with a group and we were never on the same page.
No?
No. Like one person was in a closet doing something else. I was talking to myself in a mirror, like Nicole was off doing something else. Like,
I think in Logan Canyon, like we didn't have nobody had phones. Nobody had cell phones. Even if you did, you wouldn't get a signal up there. But of course we didn't, they weren't invented then.
Mm-mm. Not for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, so, you did. They were big bricks.
No, not even. Well, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Come on. I've seen them. What's that?
Maybe
16
in,
candles.
Maybe in New York City.
Oh, I've seen 16 candles. I know.
Or those people in Los Angeles with their big brick phones walking around and talking while walking. It's just crazy.
I was thinking, though, I feel like that there was some talk, and it's been 100,000 years ago, so I don't remember, but I feel like there was some talk about how there must have been Satan worshipers there, and they were, like, doing spells or something to keep us out.
To ward you off.
And we were all convinced that that was what was happening.
I that sounds really familiar. I think I might have burnt that brain cell out. That does seem familiar.
Yeah, that's a spooky, like, goosebump story for me still, because that was really weird.
The one time that I went to, one of the times that I went up to the nunnery that we got in, because they kept on finding more and more ways to lock kids out of there.
Yeah.
When we got there, somebody had painted like pentagrams and things like that all over the place. And so somebody had already like jumped into making it feel like there were Satan worshipers up there. So we just showed up to be the Satan worshipers.
Yeah. It was the amphitheater. There was like the two dressing rooms that were like under the stage. So it was like the big stone stage. It was like stone dressing rooms under there. Yeah. Do you remember? And that's where there was all like the burned candles and the pentagrams. I totally forgot about that.
I did a show at that amphitheater later on in those dressing rooms.
And you did?
This is spooky. Okay.
So this feels familiar for some reason.
I think we just took pictures off my laptop, and I think that was the amphitheater. I was like, wasn't this like the nunnery where you're talking about? So I'll see if I can find one that's better one than one that I showed you. Maybe I'll have one of the actual overlay of it.
Yeah.
The two times that I saw really scary fucking things, both times I was sober. One I was a child, so God, I'd hope I was sober. And the other time was when my husband and I had driven out in Jackson Hole, and we had been driving for a while, so we were sober out there. Not that we started drunk or anything.
Just to clarify.
Not that we had later become sober, but we had started sober and we had remained sober full time for the scariest things I saw. And I'm not that I'm as self-centered as Charlotte, but I'm pretty self-centered. And I'm a skeptic, and I just don't, I usually don't think that these things are real, but these two things are the things that I can't explain. Ever.
Right. Do you want to talk about it, or are you just gonna want to leave us guessing?
No, I'm gonna leave you guessing. No, okay. When I was a little kid, so as might have been mentioned before, I'm an actor, or have been an actor. And when I was a kid, I was an actor too. I was an acting kid, and I was in a production at a local theater in Logan. At the Lyric Theater, which is a vaudeville house, when I was probably 8 or 9, it was a production of The Wizard of Oz, and I was playing part of the tornado and a citizen of Oz because I was too tall to be a munchkin. So
it's a waste of your talent.
I know, right? But I wore the house on my head as part of the tornado. I like danced around with the house on my head. It's pretty cool. The little model of Dorothy's house. But we're getting notes after the show, and you can see there's a balcony at the Lyric, and you can see up into the balcony. And what we saw, all the girls who were on stage with me getting notes, saw a figure in the balcony, and you could see everybody's attention go to that figure. And so the person who was directing, who I think as an adult, I know was a college student, but I thought was a professional director.
Yeah. Of course,
you need to be professional directors too. But she was a college student, saw that our focus had gone up to look at what was obviously a man standing in the balcony. And she turned around and yelled at him and said, "Hey, this is a closed rehearsal." And she took off towards the back of the theater. There was only one entrance to the balcony. And she took off towards the back of the theater to run up the stairs to the balcony. As we saw this guy turn around, we saw her head pop up. And so they would have passed each other on the stairs. Not pass each other on the stairs.
What the fuck?
He disappeared. And that, I've tried to throw that around in my mind my entire adult life, because I don't actually believe in that stuff. I want to. I do. I wish I could see people who have died that I love. Mm-hmm. I want to have that be real, and I just don't think it is. But this was, and I don't know how to explain it. I saw what I saw. And I saw what I saw as a kid, and I remember that I felt cold and scared. And then the director ended rehearsal and said, "Okay, we're done for the night," and we all went home. But it was
That's
weird.
Freaky. That is freaky.
And I remember it now, like I'm seeing it. Then I can see what the theater looked like. It's been remodeled since then, and I've acted in it repeatedly and been in different places, and everything's different, but I can remember what that looked like and what it looked like for him to turn around and for her head to pop up and for him to disappear. Whenever I think about, I'm skeptical and there is no God and fuck magic and but that one time. One time when you saw a ghost?
Yeah. I don't think it's that outrageous to believe that like residual energy could be left behind in the form or shape or feeling of something that was once present.
Right.
Like I don't think it's a cognizant sentient being, but traces of residual energy I can buy.
I absolutely can buy that now. And I think I mean, part of, if you like science, you know that science learns other things and it cannot answer everything. It only can answer what its capabilities are right now. That's so that we might not understand interdimensional travel.
Right.
And we might not understand parallel worlds and where other people go and maybe glimpses of parallel worlds and things like that. There's a whole bunch of shit that we don't know. I'm quite comfortable with that and terrified.
Right.
Right.
At the same time.
But let's say it was like a negative energy or whatever, like as Looney Tunes as mom can be. Sorry, mother. She did say to me, because people ask me all the time, like we've been talking about scary movies, and I'm like, well, Nightmare on Elm Street is by far the scariest movie ever made. It's perfectly written because you have to go to sleep and he gets you in your dreams. And I also saw it when I was 7, so I'm terrified of it. But we were talking about like The Exorcist, and I'm like, well, The Exorcist never scared me. And they're like, how did The Exorcist not scare you? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe it was because I didn't really go to church growing up. Like when I visit dad, I'd have to go to church, but mom was Wiccan, so she didn't go to church till I was like 12. But she did say things like, if you ever get those like scary feelings or whatever, or you think there's a ghost, she's like, don't feed into its energy at all, because if you do, it gives it more power and therefore it'll have more of a presence around you. So I've always taken that pretty seriously. And I was like, oh, so like to me, Exorcist was more funny than anything else. And as I got older and was, you know, read more about religion and things like that, then it became more scary. But like when I saw it, I was like, eh, what is this movie? I don't care.
Yeah. Mom always said that to me too.
Really?
Uh-huh. Hmm. What to do when demons invade your bedroom.
Right.
Mom gave us the talk.
But you know what? It's solid advice. So I tell that to my, because my clients are telling me stories about ghost stories that they've dealt with. Like my one client, I love her to death. She's now moving to Austin, so I'm not going to see her anymore. But she's like, oh my God, I can't tell you how happy I'm to get out of my apartment. It's haunted. It's been terrorizing me. Like, it's not letting me sleep. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. I was like, oh, I've never dealt with anything like that. But this is what my mom told me, thinking everybody knows this because my mom told me. And she's like, actually, that's really good advice. And she never thought about it like that. And I was like, oh, good. I'm glad I could pass on some wisdom.
Not everybody mothers told you how to deal with the demons in your bedroom. I'm pretty sure my mom never said anything about listening to me in my bedroom. Are the demons trying to sex you up in
you're lucky.
Mom's world? Is that like...
No.
No, they're not trying to sex you up. They're trying to make you scared and then eat your energy, your fear from you while you're scared.
Mm-hmm. Like the Babadook and your
Babadook.
Exactly.
Nice.
But then she'd also read the Bible over you while you slept. So there was that.
That's a bit hairy.
She slept. Yeah, she never did that to me.
I'd wake up and I'm like, oh, so this is happening.
Did she ever call your breasts your dirty pillows?
No, we didn't quite go that far.
Did she ever flick holy water on you and say the power of Christ compels you?
Maybe once. No.
My husband might have done that to me once. With the power of Christ compels you.
You married a real keeper.
I did. He's aging nicely, so that works really well too.
Right.
So which brings me to, so I'm with that guy and we're working in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and this is the other scary fucking thing. And the reason I can repeat this story is because I live with the other person who saw it with me.
But I'm
pretty sure if I talked to other girls who were in that show, they would remember seeing the same thing too. But this one, so we were living in Jackson Hole and we were doing summer stock theater. And if you've ever been to Jackson Hole in the 90s, it's just full of really rich kids, like Hollywood kids. And so they're just doing drugs and playing like the vampire day player games, whatever the RPG.
That was my friend. It's like the lamer D&D, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So they were playing like the vampire RPG games, mm-hmm. and doing a lot of coke.
We never got the coke.
So But when we had nights off, we'd either work for this movie theater in Jackson Hole, or work for restaurants where we got to see semi-famous people, or Harrison Ford, who was really famous.
And, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Uh-huh. And then, but we took a drive out to the Tetons, and we went to this place called Jenny Lake, and we drove a little past this lodge. We're driving out there, and we're just parked, and we're in the car looking at the sky, because the sky out there is so big, and you can see the entire western spiral arm of the rest of the Milky Way above you, and it's amazing. It's a big bright sky, and there was no moon, and it's just beautiful. So we would do that a lot on nights off. Our living situation was kind of weird. There was a family there, and they brought their children, and they would decide to go out to dinner and just leave you to look after their two kids, and you're like, what? No. These aren't my kids. Somebody should talk about that.
That sounds so Utah.
But this was in Wyoming. People who weren't even from you.
Same thing. I was gonna say we renamed that little section of the United States Wyudaho.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
Wyudaho. I met a friend in Hawaii who had moved out from the area, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho area, and we cleverly, as I like to think we were clever, named it Wyudaho.
Oh, because it's like my choice, and I don't want to be sex shamed.
So
why Idaho?
So when your roommate living situation people leave you to watch their children wordlessly, that's a very Wyudaho thing to do. Yeah, how about that?
So this is one of the nights where we did the and left them with somebody else, and we drove out to the middle of nowhere just to look at the stars, and we are stone cold sober. Both of us, we're just like geeking out on nature and how big the sky can be, because that is beautiful and wonderful, and you feel very small and very big and very unimportant and very important at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's a cool experience. And so we're both lying there, and what we get is like the effect of a slow strobe light going across what had to be 2 fucking miles. It was just light, like a tracer of strobe lights going across that far. And both of us kind of freeze for a second, and then it lit up, and it lit up the whole damn valley really, really wide, and then very, very fast shut down the opposite way. And both Chris and I were like, okay, we're getting the fuck out of here. So we got in our car. We both left. You could see almost the outline of something really big.
Shit.
And so we got in the car and we headed back towards Jackson Hole. And as we're driving, we passed at least 10, if not 15, black SUVs with their lights off, driving with their lights off and with no license plates.
Shut the fuck up.
I am not kidding at all. And I haven't.
Because they didn't stop you.
Was there. Huh?
Then I'm surprised they didn't stop you. And do you have any memories of how you got home?
They were driving in the opposite direction with their lights off and just whizzing past us. And we were like, shit. And we didn't want to go back to the apartment with the feral children of the other actors. We went to a friend's house, which were a bunch of kids who were hanging out and playing vampires and doing coke. And we went over to their house and we came in, and I think both of us were just like, sort of looking. And the first person who saw us said, oh yeah, I bet you saw a UFO, right?
What?
Yeah. So there, everybody said, after we told the story, nobody was impressed. They were like, yeah, there's a lot of UFO activity out there. Did you see the SUVs? Oh yeah. Yeah. They're chasing them down all the time. Yeah, it's because of the thermal something something. And I was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? I gotta Google this.
And do we need to go out to Jackson Hole and go see some UFOs?
Yeah.
As you head towards the national park, as you head out towards the park there. And Yeah, not Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Okay.
So, okay. So Teton is on this side, and Yellowstone was basically ahead of us, and we had, and Jackson was behind us. And these cars basically came from the Jackson direction while we were driving back. But yeah, and I'm sorry. I still, when I think about it, still get that same amount of like, fucking get out of there.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not the same amount because it was scary.
Yeah, that would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, it was unnatural. And then also, I don't go much for aliens either, because I think you evolve to a certain point and then you blow yourself up or ruin your environment. And you don't become like somebody who can fly through the sky, because you've already killed your environment by fighting with each other over
each other. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm one of those pessimists who don't think you evolve much farther than now. But yeah, that's one of the other things that is just like, Jesus Christ, that really happened.
I totally believe in UFOs. I have a UFO story too. It's not quite as dramatic as that one, but I saw a UFO when I was living in San Francisco. So I was living on Church Street, and we had this apartment where we technically weren't supposed to be on the roof. It was actually super dangerous, but we were up on the roof drinking all the time. And like all the roofs were connected all the way along the block. It was just like, you know, wall to wall to wall apartment. So Dexter could just like run to the end of the block and back on the rooftops.
Oh, awesome.
So it was super fun to be up there. We eventually ended up getting kicked off of there. The building was sold and bought for some exorbitant amount of money, and we were not allowed to go up there any longer. But so my UFO story is this. So I'm up on the roof like I am a lot, smoking a cigarette, drinking. I was drunk. I'm going to preface the story by saying I was drunk. But I wasn't so drunk that I don't remember what happened. I wasn't so drunk that I was like afraid to fall off the roof, or like I didn't have my balance or anything like that. But I was up there like having a drink.
You weren't stumbling.
Wasn't stumbling.
Slurring.
I don't know. I was by myself. My brain wasn't slurring.
I was not slurring.
I was articulate as fuck. So anyways, and I like to go up there and look at the stars too. And so I'm up there, you know, doing my thing, hanging out, looking at the stars. And all of a sudden I see something in the sky that doesn't look quite right, but it doesn't look totally off right at first. It's hard to explain. It's like, I try to imagine like what it would look like if I was underwater, like in a swimming pool or something, looking up and somebody was shining a flashlight down. So it was like a circle of light, but it was wavy around the edges, if that makes sense. And I'm like, looking at it for a minute, and it was just about the size of a star, maybe like the size of Jupiter or something. Like it was a little bigger. And I'm looking at it for a minute. I'm like, God, I'm really drunk, you know? And then I noticed the stars around it look normal and everything else looks normal. And it's just that one thing. And it's getting like a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, but it's like the edges aren't solid, you know? It's just like weird. And I'm like, and I watched that thing for probably like 5 minutes. And I was like, I really want to go inside and get my binoculars. I didn't have a telescope at that time, but I was like, if I go inside, I'm never going to see it again, because I had to go, you know, climb down the hatch, go down 4 flights of stairs to get to my apartment, you know, and then climb all the way back up. So I sat there and watched it for probably like a total of a good 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden it got like, it was probably the size of like what Jupiter looks like in the sky right now. So it was probably about 4 times the size of that. So it was definitely larger than any star, but it kind of looked like a star. And then it just zeroed down into like a really bright red pinpoint of light, and then a huge flash. And then it just like a trail zipped across the sky really fast. Like you could see like a trail, like a tracer, or
when you see a falling star.
Yeah, like a falling star, but it was a solid red line. There was no arc to it or anything. Right. It was just like, it's like this wavy thing. It gets really small, and then it's like, ping, and then it's gone. And I was just like, what the fuck?
I'm sure you, and now, I mean, this year they declassified aliens. They declassified UFOs. The government showed all their videos and nobody fucking noticed, because 2020 is so goddamn crazy.
How do I find this information?
It's true. I remember seeing it and I was just like, I got other shit to worry about right now. I'll come back to that. I'll bookmark it.
it's pretty good timing. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, there are UFOs. And we're like, we know. Tell us about the economy.
The U.S. economy, by the way. We don't care about other people's economies.
Right? I want to have the right to get a massage while eating a hamburger amongst 40 people. But, to my face.
But only if, they're white people.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I've told that UFO story a couple times, and I always start it by, okay, I was drinking, and everyone's like, oh, here we go, UFO story while you're drinking. But I swear I wasn't that drunk, and
I'm sure you saw something. I believe in type, like, I don't disbelieve unless people are talking about the grays and anal probing, and then I get a little like, is that a thing that happened really? That's funny. I saw a movie just like that.
Well, because my only alien one, like, I saw a few things living in Utah. Like, we'd sleep on the trampoline quite often, and it was like, Tiffany swears she was by herself, so I could be just telling her story. I don't know. We do that sometimes when we hear each other's stories enough times. But, like, I can remember seeing it. It was, like, a very slow-moving, you know, light that looked like a bigger than a star, but not, you know, it wasn't that big. And then all of a sudden it split into three different ones. They circled around and, like, did, like, loop-de-loop shit and then came back into one. And then it went again very slowly and then was gone. So, like,
that is weirdly familiar,
right? I think you see that a lot in Utah, but yeah, like, Tiffany could probably elaborate on that. Again, she's like, no, I don't know. You and Laurie keep saying you saw the same thing, but I was by myself when that happened. So, like, maybe it happens a lot.
I remember seeing a lot of, like, the V formation that was just like, it would blink here, then it would blink over here, then it would blink over there, and then it'd be miles and miles away, but it was like exactly the same formation. It would have to be such a tight formation. And why would it blink if it was night aircraft?
Right.
I remember seeing that. And then I think I pretty much talked myself into thinking it was like stealth bombers and things like that. Right.
Unidentified flying objects.
My mom chased that down the street when I was a kid. Right. We had the telescope out. We were looking at something. It was before even Laurie was born. Maybe even before Tiffany was born, but we were out there in the backyard looking at the stars, and she saw that thing. That's the first time I ever saw it. And then she chased it down all the way down Fourth North, like down to Main Street.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, four. Where's my mom chasing aliens? Right.
Shocker. But yeah, that one dream I had, and I don't know whether it was a dream or it actually happened. And it could very well have been a dream, but it was like, I couldn't sleep for the life of me all night. And then finally, like, as I felt like I was just about to fall asleep, that my whole bedroom lit up. Like, and I've got kind of blackout curtains. Well, they weren't completely blackout. They were these brown ones, but like, you could just see in between the slots that it was super bright outside, and you could hear like this helicopter sound. And I was like, well, that's not good. And I couldn't move. And I was like, and that's why I think it's like a dream, because sometimes you can't move in your dreams, right? But I was like, I couldn't move, and I kept trying to move. And then as soon as I moved enough, I opened my eyes and it was daytime out. And I was like, what the fuck?
Abducted by aliens.
But the only reason why I think it might have been a dream, Craig was gone out of bed at that point, like getting coffee. So I think if I hadn't been there, I don't know. Who knows? All I know is it freaked my shit out.
Maybe they abducted him too.
Maybe, and they just put him on the couch and he just didn't tell me, and I assumed that he was getting coffee.
Did you have coffee?
I don't drink coffee. I'm a good Mormon.
Oh. That's not what the podcast says.
I just never like the taste of coffee unless it's got Bailey's and Kahlua in it.
I found a way to like coffee at like 11 because fuck Mormons. And that was like one of the things I could do. It's like, no, I drink coffee. Mandy, did I ever tell you about Elder Drake?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you Elder Drake. So I'm in, I'm in high school. Maybe I'm in college. No, I'm in high school. And I come home and my dad's like, you've got to listen to this message. And presses the button on the answering machine because that's how that was in the olden days. And this voice comes on and says, Erica, this is Elder Drake. I'm very disappointed in your behavior. I've heard from a lot of people that you go to a nightclub that has gothic music. It's called Confetti's. I've heard that you've been accosted to concerts at the Veterans of Foreign Wars building. And I've heard that you have been, and like literally he just like went on this big spiel and there are places that I went to and things that I had done. I have not been Mormon. I don't know who the fuck Elder Drake is. So somebody had been like reporting on me to whoever the bishopric was in the area that I was living.
They just assumed you were Mormon.
Yeah. And he had gotten the shit together to like call me and leave a message on my parents' answering machine to tell me that he was so disappointed in the fact that I was listening to Ministry.
Are you sure that wasn't like Cam or one of Cam's friends?
It wasn't.
Oh, that'd be funny though.
It wasn't. He left a phone number. He sounded actually like really like kind of embarrassed. And he was like, so I just think you need to, like, you're not going to be able to think about going on a mission or doing yoga women's anymore if you don't. And like, he just, I don't think Cam was clever enough to do that. Like, I've underestimated him if he was, but I just don't think he was like that level of bright.
Good point.
Sorry, Cam.
At that time, I'm sure he's a fine person now, mm-hmm. but at that time, I just don't think he was clever enough. Mm-hmm. What I'm pretty sure is like somebody was just interested in getting all the dirt on anybody who went to our school, and whoever it was in my area who knew I went to Confetti's and you know whatever and uh-huh. concerts at the BFF.
Where's Confetti's? Salt Lake City, the big.
Oh,
city.
You went to the big city.
Yeah,
that's a whole other podcast episode. We call it Big City.
That is really another podcast episode.
All right, ladies, it's how many days to Halloween?
It is
six like days.
6 days to Halloween.
11 days to the election.
So go out there and vote.
But vote early. It's a really important election. There's a lot of really important things going on, like
right?
your right to own your own body.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we can't ask you to give us a kidney because we've used ours too much and we need yours, you can't ask a woman to have a baby.
It's true. Damn. And any vote that's not for Biden is a vote for Trump. So please do not vote third party. I'm begging you.
If you're on the fence about it at all, and if there's anything we could possibly do to convince you one last time, this is our last chance before the election.
I am begging you.
Please, please vote for Biden. It's very important.
He is a transitional period fucking president. There you go. So I've been drinking. He is a transitional president. And... yeah, fuck it. Just fucking vote for him.
So yes, vote. Please vote. We're gonna even skip over our pitch to have you join up, sign up for our Patreon, like and subscribe to our podcast, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts,
right?
Share with your friends. We're gonna skip all of that. And we're gonna say, please God, please, please just fucking vote.
Yeah, she said, dude, vote.
The collective American psyche can't handle 4 more years. We can't.
It's true.
We can't. Vote!
Motherfuckers! That's how you can be excellent to each other. We're gonna vote and we're gonna drop the motherfucking mic.
Jesus, oh, I love you.
Exactly like Brene Brown would say. Motherfucking vote, motherfucker.
Put that 50-cent word in your motherfucking pocket.